Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Man on the Rocks. It is I, Joe. Joining me this week, you know him, you'll love him, doesn't cheat ever, Atlas.
Hello, everybody.
That's right. We're joining in on the bandwagon. We're joining in on the band. We're talking about the guy that cheated in the online tournament. If only because we think it's a good talking point that we feel like we should discuss and address. If only just for those who aren't in the know to educate. But also, this is someone that we've ran into before in the past and we have history for. So, you know, there's that. But right next to that, actually, I think is the announcements. Atlas, what announcements do we have this week?
All right, let's get started with the new year, everyone. So we're looking forward to a couple of things in the coming weeks. First off, just want to give a shout out to some of the folks from the Bellingham area. Some great people up there. We have a really good relationship with them. Gonna come down and play in our weekly tournament this week. So as of this air date, looking forward to playing with you all. And then the actual things to look forward to, the year is starting off strong with two tournaments in February. There's one on February 10th is the CEDH4 tournament. This will be held in Issaquah, Washington at Laughing Dragon. Events hosted by the CEDH group. Some fantastic admins. Thank you guys for organizing these awesome events every time. They're a blast to go to. Thrilled to be a part of your team, your group. And we're really looking forward to playing that. I know that a bunch, if not all of our people from down south here are going to be showing up. So we'd love to see some of you folks, you listeners out there as well, showing up to the Laughing Dragon tournament, CDH4. It's going to be a blast. And then the next week on February 17th, so you get 1 week to reset, and then our LGS, Gabby's Olympic Cards and Comics, is going to be hosting their first major tournament of the year, the Olympic Commander Challenger Series. This is their third year doing it, so Season 3, Chapter 1, I think is what they're calling it.
Oh god, is that the way we're doing it?
I think that's how they're doing it, or maybe volumes or something like that.
Oh joy.
Anyways, they host four tournaments a year. They're quarterly. They're really, really great. Highly competitive. We've moved from the realm of no proxies into now they're allowing 10 proxies at this event. So while it's not super accessible yet, we're working on changing that. And if you show up and play and tell the TOs and the judges how like what a great time you had and how much better it would be if you could proxy everything, that makes it even better because that increases the odds that the next one we can do 100% proxy.
This is how the change happens, people.
We gotta cause it ourselves, right? And so really looking forward to playing that. There are a ton of talented players who show up from like all the way from up north down to the Portland area. We got all sorts of people who can come to these different tournaments. We would love to, I think every single time we've beat our entrant number. So it would be really cool if we could hit like a record high again, at this event. Mm-hmm. So that'll be super awesome. They have cool prizing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We got some custom playmats and stuff. Yeah. Custom playmats on top of like store credit and things like that. So
yep.
Really looking forward to playing with you all at that event as well. Mm-hmm. And then of course, the Eminent Circuit, everyone's
always ongoing
to that. Grinding those online tournaments for points. Hopefully not getting stuffed by cheaters. We'll talk about it later. And then, there are some in-person events that are coming up too. But I'm not exactly sure when those are. There are none in the area, so that we probably won't be going to any soon. But hopefully, we'll see you guys at some of these local tournaments in February.
We absolutely will. It's going to be great. Tournament season's back, baby. It's grinding time. Rise and grind, gamers. I specifically want to shout out one gamer this week. Chase, want to shout you out for being the lucky patron of the week. You should come on down. Get a drink with us.
So, Atlas.
Yes, Joe.
I understand why cheating is bad in the game. But what if I really want to cheat?
Then you probably still shouldn't.
Yeah, but like, what if I like really want to?
Then go for it. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Is you get banned for tournaments from life?
I mean, like, I don't know. That seems pretty reasonable. You know, I win a tournament, and then I can never play the game in a tournament setting again. I'll just find something else to do.
Yeah, just pick up a new hobby and go cheat in that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is a weird one to talk about. I feel like this is, like, one of those, like, obvious, like, don't do's. But I feel like you brought up some points that I think we can, like, expand a little bit further beyond, like, the cheating's bad, okay? Don't do a cheat.
Yeah, don't do a cheaty pants, that cheaty face. Yeah, so for context, so this episode ages at least kind of well. It's very topical, but it brought up something that we didn't think we had to. But I guess we do need to talk about. And that is cheating in CDH in a competitive tournament environment. You can kind of apply it to really any game, anywhere.
Pretty much,
Don't. You're a scumbag if you
do. Yeah, just don't.
Just don't. basically what happened is there was a tournament grinder from our area, actually, who got caught up in a scandal wherein they were playing a couple of online tournaments and some people recorded the games. They won one of those tournaments, top 16 another or something like that. Anyways, long story short, a couple weeks later, some video comes out, says, hey, this person's cheating. Here's the video to prove it. And even people who are not super well-versed in card cheating, they call it mechanicking in the US or sharping in the UK.
Ooh,
but those mechanics or those sharps are they're able to, like, manipulate cards, like playing cards for poker or something typically, but, like, also you can do it with magic cards, to get cards to the top of the deck that they're not supposed to have, and blah 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 blah, right? And so like, you watch this video and you can just see him blatantly, like, sticking. So the guy plays Korvold, so Dockside's, like, the most broken card in the deck. So you just see him, like, putting Dockside on top of his library. Twice.
Functionally, he tries to, like, hide it a little bit, but he's, like, really widely shuffling the deck, like, basically seeing nearly every single card in order.
Yeah, and then there's another video where he, like, pulls another card that,
his leg or something.
Yeah,
like,
it's like comes from off camera, and it's like you wouldn't catch it if you were, like, playing the game, because you'd be looking at other cams, and, like, it'd be like one of those, like, oh, he just had the nuts again, guy's so lucky type things. This is frustrating.
Damn, he actually just had everything. That's crazy.
Yeah. But then, like, you review the footage and you're like, oh, no, he didn't have the nuts. He pulled another card in the same sleeve from off camera to put in his hand. So anyways, that's the background as to why we decided to do this episode, so that all y'all out there can hear our thoughts and opinions on why cheating is bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that this should be something we have to talk about, but...
we shouldn't have to talk about this. We really shouldn't. But like you said, like, this is a local grinder that we've actually run into. We've had issues with them in the past. And it's just really funny that this all came to a head in such a manner. I'm not really going to badmouth the guy beyond, like, I just don't like him. I don't think he's very pleasant to be around and play the game with. This kind of just seals the nail in the coffin. But yeah, like, just don't cheat. Like... It, plain and simple, like, for as much as we will gripe about lying and all that stuff, cheating is just, like, dog, like, you really can't.
It's, like, against the rules of the game.
It's literally against every single rule and every single moral. Like, I'm sorry, you're so down bad for a dub.
Yeah, well, it's not even that. It's, like, so, like, there's lying, which obviously, you know, that we here at Man on the Rocks, we do not like. We do not think it is a good way to play the game, and there are lots of repercussions to people who lie outside of, like, that one particular round or whatever. We've talked about it before. I'm sure we'll mention it again. But cheating is, like, the next level, where it's like you're just not playing the game. You're not engaging in the contest, in the pastime, the hobby, the skill check, whatever you want to call it. You're not engaging with other players at the same level. No. You're playing a different game that other players are not aware that they're playing. For that's kind of the best way that I can describe it.
Probably the most diplomatic way to put it.
I guess, yeah. So in this episode, we're going to cover a couple of things. Just a couple of different bullet points about, like, online cheating versus, like, in-person. We're going to, like, talk a little bit about, like sort of, like, the mentality behind why someone might cheat. Not that it makes it okay, but, like, just thinking about the mentality there. Some brainstorming. We're going to talk about some things that you can do to, like, prevent cheating, some basic cheating techniques that, like, are pretty simple to pick up, just so that players can be aware of them and stop, like, if they think there's an issue, they can like call a judge and have somebody watch. And then just like kind of the overall impact on the community.
Yeah. All right. So kind of the first thing, online versus in person. I feel like this is going to be kind of like similar-ish. The mechanism and like sort of game mechanic, or like I guess agreed upon thing that a lot of people do to try and prevent cheating is just like simply cutting the deck, and that's really hard to do when you don't have physical access to the cards.
Yes,
it's very, very difficult to do. Not much more you can do beyond just like it's just something that you have to be observant on. I think if you're playing a lot of cam games, if you're going to like online tournaments and whatnot, you know, someone, you know, ask, hey, can you cut your deck in half and give it a shuffle? You know, stuff like that. You're just gonna need to be just more like observant for, you know, or I guess watch people's hands, I guess, also.
Yeah. So one of the things that they actually like is like the best practice for online play right now is when you're in a tournament, you're supposed to do this thing called the Brazilian cut, is what people are calling it, right? And it's where you split your deck into three approximately equal piles. You're supposed to go 1, 2, 3, and you're supposed to assign a number to each pile, and then somebody in your pod says an order, like 2, 3, 1 on top or something like that. So you put like 2 on the bottom, 3 in the middle, and 1 on top, which like it's a very passive step to try and prevent cheating. It's like simple enough. It's basically the same as cutting someone's deck in person, right? Mm-hmm. In theory, it's randomized. You run into some like weird issues, which is just in general with cams, you run into weird stuff where the field of view is restricted, or like there's like a miscommunication, or like, oh, my camera's flipped. And so like somebody might put the wrong, like the opposite pile of the one you wanted on top, just because they didn't realize that you had assigned the numbers 1, 2, 3, and they were looking at them as 3, 2, 1. Mm-hmm. So it's like just weird things like that that are just tactical glitches, right? But it's that sort of ambiguity that leads to players being able to cheat and get away with it more effectively. It really is things just getting lost in communication, or air quotes lost, or like getting mixed up, things sort of like being hard to follow, and you can't see everything all the time. Like people's hands aren't always in view. So like we mentioned earlier with that scandal that just happened, is the guy literally pulled a card off of a table to his left or out from under his leg or something. Like that's a lot harder to do when you're sitting right next to somebody and you go and reach into your bag and you pull out a card and they're like, what?
Where'd or you see from? Someone like duck down and grab something, like, what's going on?
Yeah, there's a reason why when you're playing in-person tournaments, like you're in order to avoid cheating, like you're supposed to leave your phone at the table. And like when you call a judge, like I have to take a bathroom break. Judge is supposed to, you're supposed to leave your phone at the table, technically speaking. Like judges can make different exceptions and whatnot. But I've played in modern events and stuff before where like someone's like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom mid-match, and they like get up, leave, don't leave their phone, come back, and just like ace a matchup that they're not supposed to, or that they like lost really hard in the first game or something. And you just like it's really obvious that they went to the bathroom and like looked up what the like sideboard tech is, or like what cards am I supposed to side in for this, that, or the other thing, things like that. So it's like that exists in Commander too, to some extent, but it's just that difference is like it is just harder to get away. It's possible for sure. People do it. People have been caught doing it for years in person, but it's just a lot easier to get away with online, and it's a lot. There's a lot less
stakes, I feel.
Yeah, I think like it's a lot easier to sort of distance yourself.
Yeah,
if you're doing it over online, it's like that whole anonymity thing, where if you're not involved with the humans at the table, like it's a lot easier to sort of distance yourself from it and be like, oh, well, I'm just gonna do it like this one time, or like just like rationalize it or dissociate or whatever, right?
Oh, I don't like this person. This person said something weird.
Yeah,
I really
this person
win this
deserves
matchup.
To lose, so it's fine. Yeah. I'm cheating here.
Or like, man, I really hate that they're playing, you know, blue farm. You know, I really hate blue farm. I never win against blue farm.
That deck's so unfair. So yeah. I need to like even the odds by doing things like that.
Yeah, it's I think you covered all the basic things. The distance online I think is the easiest thing to like take advantage of, unfortunately. Like as great as it is that we have this like level of infrastructure and like spell table exists and like Discord tournaments and all this stuff, love that it exists. Glad that everyone was able to come together during the pandemic and like put that infrastructure in place. Now we're actually like making use of it. I think it's an incredible thing. It's really, really sad to see these kinds of things happen, because you kind of have, you kind of have two things that are going to happen. One, you're going to have people like us that are, you know, speaking out about this and speaking against it. And then you're going to have copycats is what's going to happen. Part of kind of the raising awareness is we got to tell people about this. We got to tell people, you know, this is what's happening. This is how people are going to try and think. This is how people are going to try and rationalize that, try and get out ahead of it. I think that's really, really important. I think that's super duper important. Like beyond like the whatever we have with this individual, making sure that people know about this, know how to fight against it. If you know, we're talking about doing a lot of tournaments more, you know, it means online tournaments are going to be start happening more. This is going to be something that will be happening. I think it's super important to make sure that if you are playing online, to like keep an eye out for these things, you know, and like these best practices and all that stuff.
Absolutely. Well, like, it's just one of those things where when it started up, like, everyone thought that, oh, webcam is so convenient, it's so great, blah blah blah. I am an avid, like, in-person Magic card gamer. I really like playing in person. I think that there are significant advantages to doing that as opposed to playing online. That said, I've been jamming a lot of games on Spell Table, like, the past week or two with just some of my friends. And even then, like, not being able to see someone's body language, not being able to read facial expressions, even just looking at cards is challenging based upon people's like setups and things like that. I really, really do not like it. It's like one of the whole things that we talk about with like, it's really important for CDH to be equitable and like for people to be like, for it to be accessible to people and whatnot. But like, I don't know. It's just something about like looking at like the cameras and stuff. It just makes, it's really hard for me to process all of the information and like remember it, versus like if I'm sitting at a table, like I'll see a card go to someone's graveyard and just know it's there for the rest of the, like, I don't know why, it's just the way it works for me. But it's like one, it's just like the way that my brain engages with it. So like for me, in person's way more accessible. So it's just one of those things where it's like they were talking about, some of the other members of the community were like last year, like last summer or whatever, talking about, oh man, it's time to like just do away with in-person tournaments altogether, because online's the future, online's the way. No. So easy, no one is thinking about this. You're wrong. That's just, online tournaments are, have a lot, just as many problems, they have a lot of problems, the same like quantity as in-person. It really just like they're just different, right? And for some people, maybe online is better. Maybe the fact that you don't have to leave your house to travel somewhere makes it a lot better. But we need to be working to support in-person tournaments just as much as online tournaments, because as we know from like this whole thing that just blew up the Magic Twitterverse and Facebooks and all that stuff recently, like this whole like cheating scandal, the most recent one, there've been a couple over the past couple months, but they keep finding more and more and more cheaters in online, because it's just easier to do, easier to get away with. And it's something that we need to be aware of. It's like, if we let the support for in-person die, if we like convert all our resources into online, we're gonna lose the respect that we have as CDH players. One of the things that I saw online this past like week or so was somebody mentioning how it's actually might have been from Lamora's Cards. They did a video about cheating as well. It was like, guys, CDH just like within the past year kicked the reputation of, we're just pub stoppers. We just want to go in there and just like beat people into the dirt. But now,
we're online cheaters.
Yeah, now it's like, hey man, have you heard of this game? It's called CDH. You get to play Magic, but also you get to cheat.
The C stands for cheat.
The C stands for cheating EDH.
Yeah, I bet I'm the first person to make that joke ever. I'm so funny. Yeah, now that you mentioned it, yeah, it's been a while since I heard like the whole pub stomper rhetoric.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's just like one of the natural like growths of players, casual and competitive, is they're recognizing like where they sit on the spectrum and just getting a lot better at that Rule Zero conversation that the rules committee pushed on us. Hey guys, do this, talk about this before you play your games if you're just playing casually, a couple years back. And like it's finally caught on, people are having it, people are discussing, they're
That's
like
awesome.
Not getting salty at people, right? That's great. Now we're just cheating.
Now we're just cheaters anymore.
We're just like taking every unethical and rule illegal action that we can to try and win.
We care about winning so much. I'm willing to break the rules to win.
Yeah, it's not a good look for our format, especially when we want to grow CDH and we want to bring people in. This is not the type of the environment that we want to foster, or the reputation you want to have, where you're like, oh yeah, CDH is where all of the people who just cheat go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like there has been a great effort to curb that style of thinking, where, everyone is sounding off about this guy and memeing on him, and I think that's a pretty good deterrent. If you get caught, dude's probably mad embarrassed. I feel like anyone who gets caught in this instance, you're just like, how can you show your face anywhere? I couldn't. I don't think I would have the gumption to show up to any tournament, especially immediately, let alone after my ban period is up. I don't think I could. Because at least me personally, I'm conscious enough and self-conscious enough and insecure enough to know that I would be called out immediately if I were to sign up for any tournament. Hey, aren't you the guy that cheated X amount of months ago? And I feel like the outcries have been pretty good at establishing that. I mean, how many tweets, how many videos, how many people?
Oh, there have been a lot.
A lot. Everyone knows about this instance. Everybody knows. And there's a really easy way to avoid getting yourself in that position. Do you know what that is, Alice?
Can I wager a guess?
You absolutely can.
Don't cheat.
Wow. Full points. Full marks on that. Let's go. Yeah. It's a very easy thing to do. It's free. It fits in the companion slot. Even if you don't have a companion, you can just not cheat. Super simple. Super easy. You always have access to it.
It's in the player action slot.
It's in the player action slot. It's a special action. Same thing with morph. You can't respond to it. It just happens. Just don't cheat.
Plain and simple.
It's fun that you mentioned casual. Because one of your points, and this is a great segue, I got some great segues. Cheating casual makes you more likely to cheat when there's actual stakes is what you got written down. What's kind of the thought behind
that? Yeah. So once again, pulling a lot of the dialogue points from the online discussion is some people were saying that if we know who you are now, you're cheating now that there's money on the line. And I don't think that really follows. I think it's kind of inverted, right? If you're cheating when there's money on the line, you're for sure gonna cheat in casual, and vice versa. If you're cheating in casual, you're for sure gonna cheat when there's money on the line. Because if you're cheating with no stakes, if you're like, oh man, I really need to win this badly, then you're definitely gonna take every like slimy little thing you can do to try and eke out a win when there's prizing, right? And so I think that's worth mentioning. I think it's really just, I just don't get why people think that players who cheat in casual might not cheat in money matches or whatever. So just something that was said online where I just be aware that if you're playing with people at your local game store or whatever, and they're cheating in your casual game, if you ever go into a tournament with them for whatever reason, just be aware, they're gonna be cheating. So, or they're gonna at least be very heavily biased towards cheating, just because that's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like how we talk about if you lie, you just can't trust that person again, right? No. You just can't afford to. You can't move past that. It's the same thing with cheating. Once you've cheated once, every single game you're ever gonna play is gonna be suspect, because we just don't know. That's who you are. That's who you've been. And maybe people can change, maybe people can't. That's a completely different discussion. But the possibility, the threat, the looming feeling that this person could be cheating is just always going to be there for anyone who's playing with you.
Mm-hmm. And it's such an uneasy thing to bring into a table. The risk reward is so heavy on the risk. It's like, yeah, you win a tournament, but on you get one, if you trip up once, if you get caught once, this is what happens.
Yeah, you're never playing another tournament.
You can't. Even by the good graces of everything, if everything goes smoothly, they have a perfect record. Oh, guys, I'm a changed person after the ban period. I, I, And by everyone's like policy and whatever, allowed to play a turn, I don't trust that person. I can't trust that person. If I see them at an event, I'm gonna loudly go, hey, you're the guy that cheated, right? Like, I gotta make sure everybody knows about that. You know, it's such a, I can't get behind my mindset. I can't get behind the mindset of needing to win so badly that you need to just break the rules. You know, we're here to play a game, not win. The winning is cool. We like winning. We'll talk about winning a lot. But like, I have never been so consumed by needing a victory that I'd be willing to cheat in tournaments. And to do that both in a tournament setting and a casual setting, it's something that I just can't fathom. I don't understand what goes on behind in the mind of someone who just decides to do that.
Right. No, I'm totally with you. I like, it's one of those things where when we play casual games, we don't usually cut each other's decks because
no.
Like, it's not that serious. Like, you cut decks in tournament because yes, it can, like, it can prevent cheating if someone is, can help too, right? But also, like, sometimes people have shuffling biases in their shuffling patterns. Mm-hmm. Not that they're intending to, but just
no,
like,
God, no.
Unconsciously, like, certain cards might, like, you play them a lot together. You're like, oh, I'm gonna play this card, I'm gonna search up this card, I'm gonna cast this card. And then when you're shuffling up, they end up next to each other. And, like, based on your shuffling pattern, something that, like, went into your graveyard and you mushed into the bottom of your deck is gonna end up on top accidentally.
Yeah, my Thoracle and my console are next to each other because the last two cards I played.
Exactly. So it's one of the reasons we cut, is just like mix things up a little bit. Just an extra factor of randomization. But like when we're playing casually, just jamming games or whatever with the peeps, it's one of those things where we don't really care that much. I don't present my deck to cut. I don't cut anyone else's deck. Which sometimes takes people a little off guard if they're playing casual with me for the first time. They're like, oh, you don't want to cut? And like, that's all my whole thing. It's like, I'm like, are you planning on cheating? And they're like, no. And I'm like, then I don't really need to cut, do I?
Yeah, not really.
Like, if you get crazy lucky, it's a casual game. You got crazy lucky, man. Good for you. That's awesome.
I cut someone's deck to the perfect top card earlier today. I was playing cards.
Oh,
they're
no.
They're like, oh, man, I don't hit my one of, and I cut their deck in front of them, and I flipped over the one of, and I'm like, I'm sorry, dog.
Dude, it's great. It's so great. I've done that before.
I've been Chaos Warped into the perfect card before. I've Chaos Warped people into the perfect card.
Chaos Warped into the same card that somebody Chaos Warped away. Like, you shuffle it up, and they're like, all right, seal your fate, brother, and they cut the deck, and then you're like, all right, here's the top card. This is the card they just got rid of. You're like, let's go.
I think
I'll resume my loop or whatever.
I think twice I've Chaos Warped you and you flipped Grand Abolisher on me and you just win on the spot.
Yeah, I know one time you reality shifted me. You were playing Canon or something and you reality shifted my something or other.
Yeah, that was Grand Abolisher. Reality shifted to a Grand Abolisher.
Yeah, but you don't know. And so I was like, okay, cool. That's the card that's face down. All right, cool, whatever. Go to my turn. Player action, this Abolisher is now face up.
So disheartened. I think that's the reason I stopped playing Reality Shift, is like, I'm never giving this the possibility of happening.
Never again.
I will unfortunately play a Chaos Warp in my Rakdos decks because the deck needs a universal out. Yeah. But well, Reality Shift, get that shit out of here.
And Blue's got Resculpt now, so we have better options.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, we don't even need to worry about
just
that.
Just hella funny on some of those ones, yeah, right? But like, that's random. That's awesome.
Yeah, but like, that's part of the fun of card games, is like, you have that randomness. Or like, sometimes the top of the deck just favors you or your opponent more. There's nothing much you can do beyond that. I think that's the biggest you steal the soul out of card games when you decide to cheat. You steal the allure, the mystery, the luck, the chance of it all. Where, like, explain card games to people, it's like this. You're going to be powerful sometimes, and you're going to be able to do powerful things with your opponent sometimes. Sometimes it's going to be really back and forth. But other times, you're going to get crushed, and you're going to crush your opponent. That's just kind of how it goes sometimes. Be it the dice roll, top the deck, hand decision making, whatever. That's just kind of how cardboard goes. And to rob yourself and your opponents of that allure, of that joy, I think that's the greatest crime outside of like the social like ramifications of cheating personally. Because you don't get fun stories like, oh yeah, I Chaos Warped into Grand Abolisher, or reality shifted into the perfect card you needed, you know? Or, oh man, I cut the deck into your perfect top deck. Man, that sucks, you know? Like, you rob yourself of those instances. And that's just disheartening to me.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. And it is not fun, and we hate it.
Yeah, it's awful.
But what are some, I guess some of the ways we can cover, some of the ways to like prevent cheating. Honestly, the biggest one, and this is like, it sounds really simple and it's gonna sound really dumb, but just like be vigilant, just pay attention, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds so obvious and like so not helpful. But there are a couple of ways that we can do this, both online and in person. So for online tournaments, everyone says record your games. That way, if there's any questions later, you can go back, review the footage, and like watch it repeatedly, and double check and triple check and quadruple check and make sure there's no issues. Or if there is, you can catch it and figure it out, right?
OBS is not hard to set up. If you're planning on grinding a lot of online tournaments, it's just going to save your ass.
Yeah, it's really convenient. But the recording games is really helpful because even the most skilled magicians, like a lot of times if you watch their videos in slow-mo or whatever, like not the ones they've uploaded, but the one that someone like filmed from the audience or whatever, they weren't supposed to be, like you can see what's going on. If you watch that video a bunch of times over, you'll figure it out. Because there's no editing, right? You see everything that happens frame by frame by frame. So you can figure out what's going on. That's kind of like, other than just like watching your opponents like a hawk in online tournaments, it's kind of the most you can do. And it's also really unfortunate because there's like there's no way to figure out someone's cheating really until after the tournament when they've already won and been paid out and everyone else has been like screwed over. Mm-hmm. Another one of the reasons online is inferior to in-person, in my opinion.
Spicy.
But for in-person, there are a couple of other ways that like you can go about it. It's like, recording games is hard. So you might not be able to confirm anything like super hardcore at a day or two after the tournament, right? But what you can do is just like pay attention, ask people questions. Once we say it all the time, but communicate. Be like, hey, how did you cast that spell? What, like, if there's a question, like, what mana did you tap? Spectators, if you're spectating, obviously don't comment on games, but if there's ever an issue, you can ask players to pause while you go get a judge to clarify the board state. Mm-hmm. So there's things like that. And then just like, but it really just boils down to that communication, right? So like those table police people, like they can be the bad guys at times where they're just like, oh my God, he's asking me how I did that again. He's so obnoxious. He's just trying to throw me off my game. And yeah, a lot of times they are, but it's also like, it does have its moments where someone's like, how did you cast that? And you're like, oh, well I did. Wait a minute. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I can't cast that spell with these lands. I have to tap this other like blue pip or something to cast my mana tree. I have to tap two blue pips. I thought this land was tapping for blue or whatever, like this exotic orchard or whatever, and it's actually not. Things like that can just help to clarify the board state and maintain the game's integrity.
Stacks pieces and the like.
Yeah, stacks pieces and the like, rule of law, collector of all those types of things, right? Things that people just forget about sometimes. It's like, it's helpful to just constantly be like, hey, let's not forget about this. This is an effect that's in play, so let's not have any issues with it. That type of thing is really beneficial, even if it can be obnoxious at points. But it's also like people who are doing that table policing can also mitigate the way that they're being obnoxious by trying to be polite and respectful with their questions, just like using tact. So instead of saying like, hey, you can't cast that spell, you didn't tap your mana correctly, like, hey, sorry, just wanted to clarify it. Can you cast that spell like by tapping that mana? Can you just confirm for me like whether or not you can and like why? And if someone's like, oh yeah, I can. I tap my exotic orchard, my trap island for my mana drain or whatever. You can be like, I just wanted to check, and maybe I'm missing something, but I think that the exotic orchard doesn't tap for blue. Like this player doesn't have an island out, this player doesn't have an island out, and I don't have an island out. Like that land doesn't tap for blue. And they're like, oh, okay, you're right. Sorry about that. Guess I can't cast a spell. Or I have to tap my mana differently or something like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a big issue either way. No. Doesn't have to be like super aggressive from the table policers, which I think is the biggest issue that I've seen with people who are trying to maintain game state, is they just get super aggressive. I know I've snapped at people before, just like the heat of tournament, right? You're like, hey, you can't have that trigger. You missed it. And it's like, don't respond that way. That's not great. We all like miss a little sometimes, and that's okay. But for the most part, we want to try and like keep it level and be like, hey, I know that like you want that trigger, but it's tournament play, it's competitive. I don't think you can draw that card off of your Rissic study or whatever because you've missed the trigger. And if it becomes an issue, again, as always, call a judge.
They're there for a reason. No, 100%. It's all in the way you handle it. And it's all in the name of keeping the game good, keeping the game fair. It's the same reason why we talk about politics the way we do. Like, it's all just communication. You know, you can there's a right way to handle it and there's a wrong way to handle it. You know, I have never once felt like any times like, hey, how did you do this? I'm more than happy to explain how I did it because I at least think I'm correct. This is someone outside of me validating that. That's just as critical because sometimes you can just miss things. Lord knows I've missed things. I've also called people out on missing things. Like it happens. Game's complicated. Game is crazy. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting that little bit of outside help. Just at the very least, making sure that you're correct. So it helps me know that like, oh yeah, no, I can perfectly explain everything that I did right here. And everyone goes, oh, okay, cool. We're good. We're just checking. Makes me feel like I'm on top of my game. I feel like $1 million when that happens.
Yeah.
I had a thought with like online tournaments. I guess it's a little bit hard to like track things. I would say like it's pretty easy. At least something that I try and do is just make sure that my hand is like either on the table or like my hands here, my deck's like all my cards are very much in plain view of my camera. So that way, like, you know, if for whatever reason, you know, I guess I can like palm a card or something to like pick up my hand, but be a little bit easy to notice that. I feel like if all my cards are very clearly like on display, like I frequently just put my hand down on the table and just like cross my arms, just like think and look at the table. But I think just making sure that you maintain your game space online, you know, spend some time, make sure your camera is set up properly. If you can put together a decent setup, that's just going to do wonders, not only for you, but for everyone else who's viewing your board. Just making sure that you have that clear space for everybody to view. That's going to go such a long way. Just making sure that, you know, you're putting your best foot forward with these things so that way you can have the doubt removed from you.
Make sure that your camera is like covers like an extra like couple inches outside of your play space and stuff like that if at all possible. Just making sure that your opponents can see as much of the area around you as possible, like while still seeing your board and everything. Like it's hard to do without like building a room for it, right? And that's not something like people are just trying to play Magic. They aren't industrial like construction people who are like creating a film studio for recording. So a lot of times they're just like, hey, I want to go play in this online webcam tournament.
Let me throw something together real quick.
Yeah, there's some of the most weird setups that I've seen. People suspending phones from wires from ceilings. I've seen like the book pile, shoe boxes. I've seen wooden contraptions. Sometimes like they're a little bit more put together and they got like a webcam arm that they just like clip to their desk and hangs over their desk. That's awesome. But not everyone has that. So seen some really interesting setups. Cameras balanced in between two monitors, things like that.
Those jank setups are my favorite. I love the jank setups. Every time I see the jank setup, I'm just reminded, like, I just need to build my own webcam stand. That I have the idea for. I just need to, like, make it. I've just been lazy for it. Maybe this time around, since I'll be hopefully doing more online stuff. So we'll see. So what are kind of, like, the basic, like, I guess, what's like the easy cheats, I guess, that people can like be on the lookout
for? Just things to watch out for.
Yeah.
So we mentioned like card mechanicking and stuff earlier. Being a card mechanic is really hard. It takes a lot of practice and a lot of time and effort for a very nefarious practice, right? Not something that many people are going to do, or like a skill set a lot of people are gonna like have or run into, even with like some training. That said, it is very easy to go to like YouTube and watch a couple like short videos on how to do magic tricks and things like that, and then you can apply a lot of the same principles. So some of the really simple stuff to look out for is there's fake shuffling, fake cutting, and those are all basically they're shuffles that are designed to look real, or cuts that are designed to make people think that they're cutting the deck, but then actually leaving a specific card on top. You see that? Like, that's one of the things that the guy in the video does. He presents his deck for that Brazilian cut. But like we were talking about how cheating thrives in that like inability to communicate clearly in that like
kind of gray area.
Yeah, that like space it like that exists in between the different houses and things like that, where someone's like, oh, put two on top, and he's like, okay, give me a different pile or something like that, and they're like, oh, okay, and then like give it a pile and they put that pile on top, like just like misdirecting, like making jokes that aren't really jokes, and then like sort of like being like, okay, well, I've cut my deck into three piles, I'm two on top, and they're like, okay, how about you give me a different pile, okay, three on top, or whatever it was they said, and they're like, okay, and then they go and put three on top, whereas if they said like three on top to begin with, they would have just put three on top or whatever it happens to be. There are different, like, if you see anyone shuffling like kind of weirdly, that's a good one to keep an eye out for.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of different like techniques for controlling cards within the deck, trying to move them to the top or the bottom of the deck or whatever. So like you can like cut, you can like shuffle your deck, put a card on the bottom and like cut your deck a certain way and it'll move to the top of the deck. And it's like really hard to see, if it's done well. There's stuff called like sloppy shuffling is something that magicians do sometimes. And like card cheats and whatnot. So it's called sloppy shuffling because it's just that. It's people like shuffling poorly. So if you see someone who's shuffling really, really, and this is probably the easiest thing to call out. If you see someone who's shuffling very, very poorly, like being slow about it, and like they're like the way that they're weaving their cards and stuff doesn't look right, if they're doing an overhand or whatever, it's called sloppy shuffling. And it's called that because it's designed to make it look like they don't know what they're doing. So it sort of disarms people being like, oh, they can't be controlling cards. They're bad at shuffling.
They don't know what they're doing.
Not true. They not know true. What they're doing. Yeah. They may or may not be great at shuffling, but by shuffling slowly and disarming their opponent's like awareness, they're able to like take a little more time to move cards where they want them in the deck. So like be aware of that. If someone looks like they're just struggling to shuffle like nobody's business, or like their shuffling is super, super messy or like sloppy, that's something just to keep an eye on. Doesn't mean that they're cheating, but it's just something to keep an eye on, right? I'll note that in the rules for Magic, players have to be able to shuffle their own deck. So if a player cannot do that, that's a rules infraction. So get a judge involved, because there are accommodations that can be made for players who are unable to, but it's just something that like, you can be like, hey, you seem like you're having trouble shuffling your deck. Let me get a judge for you. Maybe they can shuffle it for you. It's also, players are allowed to shuffle their opponent's decks, when they're presented for cut, and that it's like, it's not something that is kind of disrespectful, but like also not really. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, if you're ever not sure, just instead of cutting your opponent's deck, just shuffle
it's
it
just,
a couple
it's
times.
Just the safer option.
Like, yeah, just like two or three like overhand shuffles will get you there. And then give it back to them. Like give it a cut and then give it back to them. And then and from that point, that counts as the cut. They should not be shuffling their deck anymore. If they do go to shuffle their deck again, you can tell them, oh, you don't need to do that. I've cut your deck. I've shuffled your deck. You're good. Yeah. And if they like every single time they keep doing that, that's like one of those warning signs where it's like, well, they keep trying to mess with their deck after I've randomized it. So there might be another issue here.
Yeah, I it's always like one of those weird things where I've presented my decks for people to cut, and sometimes like they just like go right in for the quick shuffle. I'm like, every single time I see that happen, I'm like, ah, this person's been cheated maybe one too many times. That makes me feel a bit safe because I know I'm not cheating, but they're making sure there is definitely no cheating going on.
Oh yeah. What else to look out for? The Hindu shuffle. Nobody should be.
What's that one?
If you ever see anybody shuffling like this for real, they're either like not actually trying to randomize cards because they're just like messing with them, or it's like they're just kind of like sort of halfway shuffling, or they're cheating. There's no two ways about it. It's the Hindu shuffle is where you grab the short end of the deck. So you hold the deck in your hand, and you grab the short end of the deck, and you pinch off a couple of cards from the top, and you pull the rest of the deck out from the bottom. So like, and then at that point you put it on top, and you pinch off a couple from the top, and you pull out some from the middle, which would be the bottom card from the middle, as well as some of the rest of the cards. So it's like, in theory, you're like sort of randomizing it by moving cards from the bottom, or from the top of the deck to the bottom, and then the top, which is the middle, to the middle bottom, like sort of like kind of halfway inverting the deck.
Okay,
but
the shuffle
doesn't randomize cards anywhere close to effectively enough for a game, especially a TCG. And it's super, super easy to manipulate card placement using the technique.
Yeah.
So nobody should ever be shuffling it that way. If they are, call a judge on it.
Yeah, no one should. You shouldn't be relying on that as like your only method of shuffling, I feel like.
People should be riffle shuffling or overhand, like weave shuffling.
Yeah.
mass shuffling.
I had a pile of cards, and as you were explaining it, I'm like trying to do this. I'm like, oh yeah, no, I see how that exactly.
Yeah, that bottom card, that's always the same. And then you know exactly where that bottom card is at all times.
Yeah.
You know what's really hard to tell is when you grab all of the cards except for the bottom one, and then just put the bottom one on top. It looks exactly like you were just finishing the shuffle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I definitely do like the whole like grab the deck in the center, like pull out a chunk and like put that block on top. But I always like I always riffle shuffle or mass shuffle afterwards, because I'm like, I'm just trying to break up my own shuffling patterns. That's just a
yeah, and that's that fine. Way. But like if that's the only way someone's shuffling, no.
I will teach you how, or you will do this in small pairs, and we will get there eventually.
Also, it's a Magic game. No one should be doing like fancy cardistry stuff with their decks, because these decks are worth a lot of money if they're not proxied. And
if you're
flipping cards and shit, like stop doing that.
This card is worth a lot of money.
Please, if it's real, it's worth a lot of money. If it's not, like
stop.
You're playing a card game. No one cares what, like, no one cares that you have magic hands. Like, that's a detriment. So like if you see people like breaking their deck into like multiple piles and then like restacking them and then like flipping them and stuff like that, like there, one of the things you'll see in the video is the cheater guy, he does what's called a double undercut, which is where the bottom of your library, or sorry, your deck of cards, is a known card, right? So you know that this card is there. You want that card on top. So what you're going to do is you're going to grab the deck just like you were going to cut it from your hand to the table. And what you're going to do is you're going to have just a tiny little like gap in between that bottom card and your pinky finger. And that's going to allow you to... So you're going to cut half the deck. You're going to set it down. And then you're going to cut half of the deck that's still in your hand. You're going to set that on top. And then you're going to cut the deck again. And you're going to put that on top. So now you have a little bit of a break above the card that you're trying to cheat to the top of your deck. And you're gonna drop that on top, pick up the deck altogether, and put one more cut where that last little pile comes off that bottom card, leaving it on top of the deck. And then you're gonna put the rest of the deck on top. It's called a double undercut, and that's one of the techniques that the guy uses to move cards from the bottom of his library, in the middle of his library, to the top of his deck. So keep an eye out for people who are like cutting their own deck into multiple piles, because that's kind of weird. And then of course,
if it looks weird, it probably is weird.
It's basically the rule, shuffle their decks normally. It is just like they should just be mass shuffling, which leads me to like honestly kind of the simplest, but like the most like devious to some degree. And this is the reason why we cut is because it's just so easy to avoid this simple cheat, which it's even possible to cheat unintentionally using this method. It just sometimes happens where you know the top card of your deck, it's a good card, so you want it on top, or you don't, like you're trying to randomize your library, but like you knew what the top card was, and like just by happenstance, people don't always, when they mash shuffle, they don't always mash the top half into below the top card below the bottom half of their library, which is like, it's kind of hard to describe without like a video or something. But no, basically
I've definitely done that before.
Yeah. Like you're like, you see that top card and you're like, you're shuffling and you're shuffling and you're shuffling, like just mass shuffling, and you get done and you're like, wait a minute, this top card is the exact same card that I just had on top.
Yep. I know exactly. I know exactly the way to describe this phenomenon.
Oh, go for it.
So me personally, whenever I mash shuffle, I usually just take half the deck and just try and mash both halves together. Sometimes what I accidentally do, and I've corrected this habit, but it still occasionally happens, but that's why I kind of like purposely mix up my shuffling styles to actually randomize as much as possible and prevent any of these things from happening, is sometimes when you take the top half of your deck, you're only mashing like the bottom quarter of that half that you picked up.
That's the best way to put it.
You just pick up half, bottom quarter of that half is only being shuffled in, but that top half is just the same. I have done it unintentionally before, but usually I will, it's pretty fast for me to be like, draw this, I'm like, oh guys, I did not shuffle my deck well, can I like reshuffle? That should not be there, I did not shuffle well at all. And
I think, I'm sure most players who have like been playing Magic long enough have experienced that. Just like, you're just shuffling and you're like chatting with somebody across the table from you, and you get done, you're like, wait a minute, that's not supposed to be there.
I guess I'm lucky, but yeah. Then I run through the sets, which is like, no, I probably just shuffled poorly.
And that's why we cut, is because that type of like cheating, it is cheating even if you don't intend to. But like that can just, that type of like controlling the top card to the top by mass shuffling can just happen like accidentally, just when you're not paying attention and ensuring that the top card gets mixed into the middle of the bottom half every time. So like, we just got to be careful about that. And it just really boils down to, especially in tournament play, cut your opponent's decks. If you feel like something's fishy, like if something looks fishy, shuffle their deck, call a judge, ask a spectator to keep an eye on stuff and make sure everything's okay.
Yep. And especially if you're in a high stakes tournament setting, you feel like, me personally, any tournament I go to for like the next month or so, I'm usually not a deck shuffler when it goes for cuts. I'm probably going to be shuffling decks for cuts for a little while, at the very least, just to like scare off any
any
of those that would wish to copycats. Like, no. I refuse to play this game. You will not pull this one over me. I will beat you on this. Closing thoughts. Don't fucking cheat at cardboard, you giant weirdo.
Yeah, it really does, like, not that I would hope that none of our listeners would cheat, but it really is one of those things where cheaters in the community have a horrible net negative effect.
Oh yeah.
On the community as a whole. Like you taint the reputation of the format that like we all like love to play, and you make everyone suspicious of each other and sort of like ruin that camaraderie and that idea of like, hey guys, we're here to enjoy a card game and like play it to the best of our ability at the highest level we can. And when you're like removing that contest of skill, when you're removing elements of like luck, like Joe said, that sort of like contribute to the enchanting nature of card games, it just makes it really unfun for a variety of reasons. But
it sucks the oxygen out of the room, man. That's not why we're here.
It's just not cool. It really just boils down to, it's not cool. And there's really nothing else I can say other than, don't do it. It's not cool. If you do it, you're not cool.
Yeah, you want to be the cool guy. This is not the way to be the cool guy.
Yeah, winning straight up doesn't make you the cool guy if you're winning because you're cheating.
Yeah, no, that makes you the worst guy.
And you will get caught eventually. It will happen. And once you're caught, it's Jover.
It's Jover, dude. It's so Jover. I'm just going to repeat points that I'm just going to be saying forever until the rest of time, because cheaters never prosper in the long run. You'll prosper the one time that you do, and then that's it. But you've left a stain on everything. So, like, let's just move on from it. Like, I feel like everyone said their piece. Let's move on from it. We understand. Here's the do's and don'ts. That's all I got.
Yeah, it's really just that simple. Don't. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
No, you shouldn't. It's just that shrimple. It's just that shrimple. Alrighty, well, Atlas, I want to thank you for coming down to Ye Olde Man on the Rocks to talk about some cheating bastards.
pleasure as always. Got to learn about the Hindu shuffle, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
never heard of that one before.
There's some weird stuff out there in the worlds of like card magic and card tricks and stuff like that.
Excellent. Well, thank you everybody for watching and listening. We'll catch you next time.